You put snot on the ball?
I haven't got an arm like yours. I gotta put anything on it I can find. Someday you will too.
It's time for another edition of the Publics and Privates OK Preps Podcast, presented by Skortle. And now, here are your hosts, Ben Johnson and Michael Swisher.
All right. You thought you'd gotten rid of us, but we're back for another episode. Welcome in to the eighth episode, as we just counted, of the Publics and Privates OK Preps Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Johnson, and joined by my co-host, Michael Swisher. Michael, how are you?
Well, I'm here. I can't believe it's number eight already. I'm sure some people out there are saying eight is enough, but we're going to soldier on through this. But man, I can't believe we've done 2 months worth of podcast already.
Well, we say that, but we took an extended spring break. We spring breaked with all the high school kids, and then we had an extra spring break on top of that. So you would think we'd be well rested, but I think I'm more rusty than anything.
Yeah. Sometimes I think we got in a good groove there, and all we did was work ourselves out of it. But oh well.
Yeah, we're just like basketball. We put up some great numbers during the basketball season, so it's just a matter of getting hot again and going on a run in terms of basketball nonsense. We're in the middle of spring sports season. You know, you come back from spring break and you really dive deep, and you start getting a lot of baseball. You get your soccer, you get golf, tennis, track and slow pitch. I'm surprised that I didn't miss out on one of the sports there, but I know we're still kind of early into everything, and with spring sports, it's kind of all over the map, and it's hard to keep track of anything in particular. But has anything caught your eye, or anything you're kind of looking forward to during spring sports season?
Well, I mean, when you talk about the baseball part of it, that aspect, we're kind of getting into the thick of the district races for the larger classes. So it'll be interesting to see how some of those pan out. Winning the district, just as in football, in baseball can be huge, because, that's the difference between hosting a regional and going on the road for a regional. So, winning the district is big. So I'm really interested in keeping an eye on some of those races out there where there are a couple of really good teams in one or two of those districts.
A couple things during spring sports season, you kind of during this time you get a lot of coaching hirings, or not necessarily firings, but a lot of coaches kind of moving around. And I know you had one kind of in your backyard. Kind of walk us through the new girls basketball coach at Kingfisher.
Yeah, and there's a fair share of firings that go on this time of year.
That's March, true.
March and April are. I mean, March is kind of the moving month for basketball coaches. That's kind of when schools make their decision if they are going to make a move, and that gives coaches plenty of time to go out there and find a job. You usually don't find out about it until April. A lot of times you don't see coaches get fired. They're let known that they need to find another job. That way it allows right. them to resign. So, which is fine. I have no issues with that whatsoever. But, yeah, Kingfisher girls just hired at Monday's Board of Education meeting, just hired Garrett Spears to head up that program. Garrett has been at Enid the last 2 years. He's a protege. He played for Dusty Torrey at Garber, graduated in 2005. Spent 7 years in the college ranks. He was a head boys coach at Weatherford and at Drummond before going to Enid, and young and energetic and ready to get to work. So, we'll see if he can get the Kingfisher girls program, which has, four state championships and 25 state tournament appearances, but none since 2009. And we'll see if he can kind of get that going back the right way. And then just down the road, Andrea Taylor will take over at Cashin for Tati Manning. Of course, Tati won 3 state championships at Deer Creek and then has been at Cashin the last 2 years. Coach Cashin to a runner-up finish in 2018. She has retired from coaching, so she can spend more time watching her kids actually play. Her daughter, Sydney, of course, is at Missouri State, which just reached the Sweet 16 of the women's NCAA tournament. And so, those are a couple in my backyard. And there's a few more that are happening out there. And it hasn't been a huge year, I don't think, for basketball. Sometimes there are a couple of big dominoes that start to fall over, and that really causes a ripple effect. I haven't really seen that this year. There haven't just been a ton of marquee jobs out there.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I found it to be for football this year. I don't think there were ever really a ton of marquee jobs, out there on the market. Over here on this side, Poto opened up because Forrest Mazie went to McAllister, and that started the domino effect where Hilldale opened up because Greg Warner went back to Poto. And then, that kind of started a trickle-down effect from there, and from Locust Grove and Catoosa making hirings as well. So, you talked about Manning retiring over on this side of the state as well for wrestling. Sean Jones hanging it up at Broken Arrow after 14 seasons. I have an interview with him later on in the podcast, but, ended up winning 9 championships between dual and team state championships. I think it was 36 individual titles along the way. Handing the program over to his brother, Rodney Jones. I think there might be some other wrestling news somewhere along the way. But, between, like you said, this is kind of the time for wrestling and basketball to kind of get settled into their off season, make some changes before they get things fired up in the summer, because, we'll start doing football and all that stuff in August and September. But before you know it, wrestling and basketball will be back in the gym practicing for the season to start. I think off season they're allowed to start practicing for basketball on October 1st or something like that. So, we sit here in April, but October and November will roll around sooner than you think. That kind of how you see it happening almost every year now?
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, there's so much going on in the spring, and it almost makes your head spin. I always just spout out. Everybody, when basketball ends, everybody says, "I guess you can take it easy now." And I was like, "No, baseball, tennis, golf, soccer, track, and slow pitch now here." So it's tough to keep up with it all. Just so much going on, and then there's the inevitable flurry of state championships where you're going to have bad weather, and so everything gets moved around. And as soon as they end, boom, it's time to start again. And you got 7-on-7. You got team camps for basketball. You get Red Dirt League for baseball. It's a cycle. It doesn't seem to end. It finally slows down a little bit in July. Of course, now we're going to have that dead period here. Is that this summer?
I think that's right this year.
So, that forces everybody right there to take it easy. So, it's before you know it. I mean, it just seems like, okay, it's over. I can catch my breath. Oh, wait, no, I got to get ready for next year already.
Yep. And one thing, we kind of hit on Broken Arrow Wrestling there for a second, but found out this week that they're going to be the first state or first program in the state to institute a girls varsity wrestling program. So, I know Ainsley Lane has been kind of in the forefront of that, a wrestler at Bixby. Had her on the podcast several episodes ago, but girls wrestling is coming, and at some point, I would imagine it'll be sanctioned where other schools are going to start having varsity teams. But kind of your thoughts on them taking that next step for girls wrestling?
Hey, I mean, I'm all for it. If they got enough who want to do it, and if they can put a team out there, then give them the opportunity. And I'm very interested to see how many schools start to follow suit. Broken Arrow obviously has the built-in advantage of having 78,000 students there on campus.
About 80 now.
Okay, so 80,000 students on campus, trailing only Ohio State University.
That's right.
But, so obviously that's something, they're going to have the numbers probably to do that. Will other schools, once you get down to the lower classes, doubtful. But, is this going to be the domino for that? It'll be very interesting to see because, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Is this coming down, the pipeline? And this is the first step.
Yeah, absolutely. And beyond that, as far as girls sports go, Oklahoma Girls Basketball Coaches Association. I told you that I would stumble over the acronym, so I think I'll just go ahead and pass. I'll try it. OGBCA. Got it.
There you go, man. It's easy.
They got their all-state teams. Those are posted. Then as far as spring sports stuff, I just put down Edmund. As far as teams that are probably almost assuredly going to win titles, I put down Edmund North Boys Golf. And then I'm sure Heritage Hall is going to win a tennis title along the way, and there's probably some other dominant spring sports team I'm not thinking about.
I think you mentioned a few weeks back, Dale Slowpitch.
That's right, Dale Slowpitch. Yeah. But yeah. I also put down Owosso Baseball, but now that we have single elimination baseball, it's a little bit harder to pinpoint who the baseball champions will be. But I know Owosso is super talented, and you know, we will hit on some spring sports along the way. We just wanted to fire up the podcast again, you know, give people kind of a Cliff Notes version of what's been going on lately. And we'll be here throughout the spring. Not next week. One of us will be out of the country. I won't say who, but
I will. I won't be.
No. Oh, okay. Well, you're going to be here in the States. So that narrows it down then. But we will continue the podcast throughout the spring, especially whenever states or, you know, districts and regionals are rolling around and we get a clearer idea of kind of who's going to be matched up against who and some of the matchups. It'd be fun to break down some of the pitching matchups in baseball and all that good stuff. But kind of your thoughts before we wrap this thing up.
Yeah, I mean, you just said it. You're going to be, you know, off in the sun and the surf, and it's probably going to be raining here. I'm sure the temperatures will dip down into the low 40s next week since you're going to be somewhere nice and tropical. But now, it's I'm just looking forward, you know, like I said, you know, locally we got some big district races heating up. I've just had the first of four invitational golf tournaments here on my local course over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, there's going to be some, you know, Will McDonald and Heritage Hall will be here next week. Will McDonald shot a 4-under 68 yesterday down in Ada at the Tournament Champions. He was 6-under through 10 holes down there. He's headed to Arkansas next year. Excellent golfer. Going to be joining Mason Overstreet, who's from Kingfisher over at Arkansas, but he'll be on the Kingfisher National Country Club course next week. It has beaten many a foe, the old Kingfisher Muni, but there's gonna be some really good golf here over the next couple of weeks. I look forward to that, and then we'll have two qualifiers and two regionals here, so a lot of golf in Kingfisher, and that's gonna be fun to watch too.
Awesome, man. Well, good to be back in the saddle again as far as the podcast goes. And we will go ahead and throw it over to interview with Sean Jones, who just stepped down as Broken Arrow Wrestling coach, and get his thoughts on what's next for him. All right. We are joined by Sean Jones, who recently announced his resignation, I guess he would say, at Broken Arrow High School. Sean, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing, Ben?
Doing pretty good. Well, kind of take me back to a couple weeks ago. You know, the school put out a release saying you were going to step down as wrestling coach after a great run. I think, what was it, nine championships divided up between dual and team titles. So
we had five state championships and four duels and nine state runner-ups in total.
You know, kind of walk me through, you know, what led to that decision and, how things...
It's just a factor that was just undeniable. You had to really seriously look at it, and it was a job opportunity. And, you know, Ben, with this season and the seasons before, I mean, in education and coaching, I had achieved more than I'd ever wanted to achieve. And I'd always said if the right opportunity came along that I would seriously look at it, and that opportunity came.
And obviously you hand the reins over to your brother. You know, one thing that I noticed, they're a dual state. I know obviously the head coach, you know, at a dual, you can kind of roam all over the place, but I really noticed that Rodney was in the forefront, you know, kind of leading those guys, and I'm not particularly sure what weight class maybe he works closer with, but it really looked like he was kind of on the front line, you know, giving a lot of instruction. You know, had you guys talked leading up to that point, or had the wheels been set in motion, or is that kind of just how things normally are? And you guys
absolutely not. It's just Rodney Jones is perfectly capable of coaching anyone. It's just lack. It's no ego. I don't have any ego when it comes to that wrestling team, and my brothers are both capable of doing and running and coaching and doing anything that I can do. And we just, that's the way we wrote. I mean, I was standing over the side and I had input and we had conversations and we looked at each other and we communicated. But that's just pretty typical, the way it's always been.
Okay.
That guy's a fantastic coach. I mean, there's just no two ways about it.
Yeah. And that's kind of what, you and I talked on the phone a while back, and obviously since you're stepping down after a long successful run, like you told me, you're still going to be around and be the biggest Broken Arrow fan in the stands.
Oh, absolutely. Every chance I get, I have three daughters. One's going to graduate this year from Jinx, and I've got a ninth grader that's a soccer player at Jinx, and hopefully we'll have a sixth grader eventually that's a soccer player at Jinx. But any chance and any opportunity that I have to be at a Broken Arrow wrestling match, those are my kids too. I've watched those kids since they were in the seventh grade. And extremely proud of those kids, extremely proud of their families. And I love Broken Arrow and I love Broken Arrow wrestling.
Now, I know being there for such a long period of time, you've seen a lot of duels, a lot of tournaments, a lot of wrestlers. Is there a particular duel or maybe a match that stands out to you above the rest, as you call it a wrestling career?
Just I tell you what, when we got things kind of headed in our direction, Ben, the thing that stands out most to me is maybe that 2008 dual state championship, because we could tell the kids were on the right path, but we were rookies. We were young. We didn't know how to pull off the Triple Crown, the dual state, regional state. We didn't know how to do that. And so we blew the 2008 traditional state championship. But from that point forward, the effort that those kids, that our kids put into that state wrestling tournament, because we've always talked about, we're going to start out fresh, but when we go to that state wrestling tournament, we're going to be at our freshest. We're going to out-wrestle everybody. We're going to out-hustle everybody. And those kids bought into that. And every state tournament, they just competed like no other. And this year, maybe the peak, maybe at the peak of what we were trying to get to. So just every state wrestling tournament, just the way that they competed, when the state championship was a team or not, was just pretty special.
Now, I know you go out on top in terms of Broken Arrow adds a four-time state champion to the ledger, and Zach Marchiselli, kind of, how special was it to be able to coach him throughout his high school career?
I mean, it goes without saying that Zach's a special kid. He's going to TCU to play football. I mean, and a lot of that is due to, a lot of that to me is due to his wrestling career and the things that he's accomplished in wrestling and how he's just such a competitor. He steps out there, expects to win. And, the one thing about our wrestling team that we never had in the 14 years that we've been there was one undefeated state wrestler.
Right.
And that's due to the competitions that we go compete in and the teams that we compete against. And Zach never was undefeated. But when it came late February, he's going to win a state championship. I mean, he was going to be at his very best. And I mean, I could probably talk for an hour about Zach Marchiselli. He's what, 38th state champion, 38th four-time state champion,
right,
in the history of the state. I mean, pretty impressive.
And I thought, to me, being there at dual state and the state tournament both, I know that you guys went to the Glenpool tournament and Reese Whitcraft kind of dinged his ankle up a little bit. And to watch you guys kind of manipulate the roster to be able to know when to use him at dual state and then for him to go on and win an individual state championship, I kind of thought he gutted out the month of February. It almost looked like he almost had to win a state championship on one leg. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, course, he heard it at the Dole State, at the Glenpool tournament. And, you know, there's a point in Dole State that we just said, you've got to go. And the credit to Reese Whitcraft, on top of him just gutting it out and doing it, was with our built-in training staff that we have at Broken Arrow that is just second to none. Daniel Stewart worked with him just nonstop, day in and day out. Reese would report to the training room at lunch, maybe some days before school, and they just rehab. You know, he was really in a great place before the state finals, and he was warming up, and two big guys rolled into him, and he torqued it again. And so, you want to talk about gutting something out?
Right.
That finals match, he was hurt. He re-injured it to the point as he had done it back at the Glenpool tournament. And, that's what I'm saying, is that those kids, when we go to that state wrestling tournament, beyond individual glory, understand the worth of competing and trying to win a state wrestling championship for the team. And although it was done, everything was settled by the time we got to the finals that night, those kids got to be selfish. You know, they got to wrestle for themselves. And Reese wanted nothing more than to win a state championship individually. And just tough kids, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I'll get you out of here on this. This week, Broken Arrow announced the formation of girls varsity wrestling team, going to be the first in the state. Just your thoughts on kind of Broken Arrow being in the forefront of, you know, girls wrestling and kind of maybe starting a new chapter in the state of Oklahoma in terms of wrestling.
Typical Broken Arrow.
That's right.
We know it's coming, and so why not be the leader in it? That's the way that our athletic department and our higher ups think. And Cassidy Jefferson came, I believe the week before spring break, and interviewed, and we toured her, and we gave her a look of everything that was going on. And she was an incredibly mature young woman. I think she's just 22 years old. But there's nobody better to start Oklahoma wrestling. I mean, I think she'll go down in the history of Oklahoma women's wrestling because she truly is going to be the first girl or a woman that's been hired to do that job. And I mean, that's a hats off to BA Athletic Department Administration. I mean, they acted on it, and pretty special. I mean, women's wrestling is just as important as men's wrestling as coming on. I mean, if you look at the statistics and the numbers over the whatever years, it's gone crazy as far as total numbers of girls wrestling. And, you know, not only is Broken Arrow going to be the first girls wrestling program, but we have arguably the best girl wrestler in the state. And Allie Hines. And so it's beautiful. And I think it's going to be so cool and interesting. You know, they're going to have to figure out everything that goes with it. But everybody around here is excited just about the change. Rodney's going to do an incredible job. Biff's there. Everything remains intact. And we're going to continue competing for state championships and individual championships and national rankings. And that's just the BA way.
Awesome, Sean. Well, I appreciate your time, and good luck to you.
Hey, Ben, thank you, and thanks for calling.
You bet, man.